This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And we often come here with that expression. Folks ask me what I mean by that. Well, we're refuting error. So much error in the land today. I listen to radio preachers and televangelists and off and on now and then, and I don't do it critically. I just listen to see what's out there. If you don't know what the opposition is, what you're facing, how are you going to battle those things? My friend, we need to be informed about what's going on. And I see so much error. You say, how so, Pastor? Well, one of the error in the land is that people are believing now that God, Christ died for everybody. Yes, Christ died for everybody. Well, he did no such a thing. No. He died for those who will believe on the Lord. And they are the ones whom the Lord ordained, elected, foreknowledge, and predestinated. And I know folks don't like that, but my friend, that's God's word. But we're looking at those things, and we're refuting other error. Another error is that you come down to the front of a regular Protestant church and shake the preacher's hand, and that's all there is to it. Well, that's error. That's error. Then we have folks who believe all you have to do is be baptized. That's error, my friend. Then we have folks who say, well, pray this little prayer that they hand you, a little business card with a prayer on the back of it. Jesus, I'm sorry I sinned. Amen. They say, well, you saved now. You just saved as a preacher is. Well, you probably are. But that's the error that we refute. And we do it with love and kindness. We don't criticize individuals. We just criticize the error that's going on. And my heart is so heavy at this time that our folks, many of our folks whom I know and whom you know, are deceived. Satan has them deceived, blinded by the god of this world, Satan. That's another error. Folks think there's no such a thing as a living reality devil. He's a living person. Yes, sir. He's the prince and power of the air, and he goes about seeking those whom he may devour. That word devour basically means to intimidate. Folks are intimidated. So we're going to get back to our study. We're looking there at the faith of Moses. We come down to Moses there. How that he was a proper child, and his mother and father hid him in the river Nile there until Pharaoh's daughter came along and plucked him out of the water and took him into the courts of the king. And he stayed there for 40 years, nursed in his early days by his own mother, whom they didn't know was his mother. But let's look at it now. What took place? Same thing that takes place in every individual's life who ever gets saved. First, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He took a stand. I tell my folks here, you're going to take a stand on the side of Christ or you'll never get saved. There's no more straddling the fence. Do you know folks who straddle the fence? Well, I was saved back there when I was 7 years old, and I'm just as saved as you are. Well, that may be true, my friend, but you're straddling the fence. You haven't never taken a stand for Christ. You have never taken a stand. Come hell or high water, I'm going to trust the Lord. That's what's wrong with a lot of our folks. They love the world, the present evil world. They love the pleasures of sin, and they think that they can straddle a fence and have the best of both worlds, but not Moses. He refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's child and son no more. In other words, he came to renounce everything that was near and dear to him. Don't you know he enjoyed those things? Surely he was. He was in line to be the Pharaoh, the next Pharaoh. And there were much perks, as we call them. You know, we have perks now. And he had many perks. But listen, then he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, my friend, folks tell me and ask me if salvation, a Christian life, is a bed of roses. No, sir. No, sir. But do you know how we learn? We learn through affliction. Oh, but my friend, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God more than to enjoy the pleasures of the king's court there in Pharaoh's court. Then he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. He looked by faith the Lord had given him to see that far more than the riches of Egypt, he saw that the riches, the reproaches of Christ were greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, that's what happened, my friend. You see those statements that Moses' whole life was shaped by faith? By faith in an invisible God based upon his covenant and his promise. That faith was based upon the word of God. Now, if you've listened closely to these messages for any length of time, you hear me talking about describing faith, talking about faith. The Bible sets forth the faith sets forth the face. He's talking about the body of divine truth, which is the basis of believing faith. Now, this faith, here he's talking about, by faith Moses, that's believing faith. That's when Moses believed. What was the basis of his belief? What was the basis of his faith? It was the covenant promises that were made. Now, there was not a word of God written in the book form in that day of time. He didn't hold in his hand the Bible like you and I can do. But listen, I want to tell you, those folks back there are going to rise up in judgment against this generation that we have, because we have the word of God. And won't have it, won't believe it, won't turn to the Lord. We are warned day by day of the judgments that's to come, but we won't have it. My folks won't have it. I brought a message in our last service night or two ago about you're neither hot nor cold, therefore I'll spew you out of my mouth. The Lord said, you lukewarm. My folks are lukewarm. Oh, we have the largest contingency of churchgoers now than we ever had before. We drive down the road, and I see churches with five-acre parking lots. They have two and three services on Sunday, but those folks are not praising the Lord. You go in there, nobody knows each other. They never hug each other and say, look, I love you, I'm praying for you. Don't do that. It's a social club, my friend. And then they break up after lunch on Sunday and go play golf. Oh, my friend, I know what goes on out there, and you do too if you'll be honest about it. But listen, I asked you, are you praising the Lord? Salvation is the greatest thing that ever happens to an individual. And if that's so, and it is, then can't you praise the Lord? Just think with me a moment. If you're saved, you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's the only redemption. That's the only means of being saved, is to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that something to thank the Lord for, my friend? Isn't that something to praise the Lord for? And we have folks now with I tell them they got the lockjaw. We have prayer service. Oftentimes, folks will sit there like they got the lockjaw and won't say a word. And I say, look, if you can't say anything else, just praise the Lord for waking you up this morning. That's right. I told you about this little incident. I had a little nephew that was a little drifter and orphan-like, been handed around from pillar to post. And I went by where he was staying one morning. He was about 3 or 4 years old. And I walked in the door, my wife and I said, how you doing, babe? I called his name. And he said, Uncle Albert, I woke up breathing. Now, my friend, that put me to shame. That puts you to shame, doesn't it? I have often so many times, I think we have the most unthankful nation, unthankful generation that ever was, my friend. I do. I think it's the most unthankful generation. Did you ever watch a bird scratching worms in the yard? When he finds a worm, what does he do? He raises up his head. Thanks the Lord. He raises his head, points his head towards heaven. Oh, you say, that's foolish. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. I'm telling you, human beings are the most unthankful creatures that ever was born. So that's what we have today. But let's go back to our study. It was those covenant promises. And I said, because we have the word of God, and folks won't have it, won't believe it. And so this generation, that generation that came up, and without the word of God and the Lord saved them, they're gonna rise up in against us. How did the parents of Moses come to know that promise, that covenant promise, and the promises? Come down through Abraham, family to family, home to home. And how did Moses learn it? Through his father and mother. Now, we may think sometimes that we aren't getting anywhere with our children. Don't give up on them, my friend. Oh, I love to see them get up on Sunday morning and head back there to the Sunday school classes with their Bibles under their hand, in their hand, marching back there. And we have gracious teachers here that teach our little ones. And listen, they teach them the Bible. We don't use any organized religions, literature. And well, this is the 17th day of December, message for today, turn that. No, we don't do that. We let the Lord lead our teachers. They sing gracious songs, blood song, and they tell gracious little stories of true stories of the Bible characters. And then they teach them the word of God, give them memory verses, and they come in there on Sunday morning with a smiling faces. And let me tell you folks here, locally, in our local area here, where our chapel is located, and the mission places, if you don't have Sunday school for your children, you ought to be ashamed. I'm telling you, you don't have to be smart to teach Sunday school. You take the Bible. Tell them the Bible stories. Read them. We have that material here if you need it. you have folks, children in your home. If you need help material, you write us and let us know. And I'll put you in touch with one of our Sunday school teachers and give you a synopsis of what we use here. And we'll be glad to furnish them for you if you'll use them. But listen, the place to teach the Bible is in the home. And the father and the mother, you're the teachers, my friend. Now, you can do it 7 days a week. Give at least 30, 40 minutes a day teaching your children. Teaching your children. Get them out in front of that TV. Get them out in front of Big Bird. Get them out in front of all of those things and those TV games and those. Get them out in front of those things, my friend. Oh, listen, I tell you, one of the saddest things that I know of is our children are coming up now that they don't know what it is to play outside. I know several years ago when my two grandsons were babies, small, coming up, and they lived next door to me and my wife, and I had a man bring them a dump truck full of dirt and dump it out in the backyard under some trees. And so those boys could go out there and dig in the dirt and make tunnels in it like I did when I was a kid. My brother and I, and we had trucks that we made out of spools of thread, and we enjoyed those things. But now, my friend, it's all sitting in front of Big Bird, sitting in front of those things. And now, with all the pornography that's on there, and they get a little bigger, they know how to pull those things up. Don't let your child have a TV in his room, my friend, where you don't know what's going on. I'm sorry, a computer. Don't let him be in there and lock the door where you can't get in. Keep that door open. So you're going to be in here, son. You're going to have this door open. I'm going to see it. Don't let them slam the door and look like they hadn't seen it. My friend, listen, that's the damnable stuff. That pornography and all of those things, that's the damnable stuff. But listen, love your kids. Teach them God's word. Tell them how the Lord saved you, if the Lord saved you. And if you're not, tell them how you want to be saved. But don't give up, my friend. Don't give up on your children. No, listen, they're not going to be long, for they'll be up and gone. They'll be up and gone, but let's teach them the word. And they won't get away from it. So Moses' whole life was shaped by faith in an invisible God, based upon not feelings, not visions and dreams, not emotions, but on the covenant promises of the eternal word. Now, your faith isn't worth a snap of the fingers if it doesn't rest upon the divine truth. I can't stress that too much, my friend. Listen, we just get into that in our next study about praying for the sick and those things. We'll look at it. We don't have time this time. And sit down and write me. Remember, we're going on a bunch of new radio stations. But if you would, remember my website. There's much information there. RadioMissions.org. And then our mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana. Our zip code is 70785. And then pray for me. Would you do that? And then send me a nice offering for the broadcast. Would you do that and say, here, Trailblazer, I want to help you a little bit. Goodbye and God bless you.